ఓకే నమస్తే నాథ భగవన్ శివాయ గురు రూపిణే విద్యావతార సంసిద్ధే స్వీకృత అనేక విగ్రహాయ నమాయ నమ రూపాయ పరమార్థైక్య రూపిణే సర్వజ్ఞానతమోపేద భాన వేచిత్నాయ తే స్వతంత్రాయ దయాకృప్తాయ విగ్రహాయ శివాత్మనే పరతంత్రాయ భక్తానాం భవ్యాన అంభవ్య రూపిణే వివేకినాం వివేకాయ విమర్శాయ విమర్శినాం ప్రకాశినాం ప్రకాశాయ జ్ఞాని నామ్యాన రూపిణే ప్రసత్పార్శ్వయోపృష్టే నమస్కుర్యాత సదామచ్చత్ రూపేణ విదే హివోదాసనం ఇత్యేవం పంచ శ్లోకే సువీతమాన సహ ప్రాత ప్రభో సమయ జుభాసు దివసం భవేది శివాది గురుభ్యో నమ. ఓకే, ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ సెషన్ వి సా ది శక్తి అండ్ బీజం ఆఫ్ ది ప్రథమ చరిత్రం, నందాశక్తి అండ్ రక్తదందికా బీజం. వి ఆల్సో సా వై దేవర్ చోసన్ ఎస్ బీజం అండ్ శక్తి ఫర్ ద చరిత్రం and how their prabhavams are included in the 11th chapter of the Devi Mahatmyam itself. We also saw the Dhyana Slokam of these Devatas. So in this session, we will look into the Sakti and the Bijam of the Madhyama Charitram. For Madhyama Charitram, the Devata is Mahalakshmi, the Sakti is Shakambari, and Durga is the Bijam. For Uttama Charitram, the Devata is Mahasaraswati, Shakti is Bhima, and Brahmari is the Bijam. So for this session, we look into Shakambhari and Durga. So who are these Devatas? I did mention that the information about these Devatas are given in the 11th chapter itself. However, to know the detailed stories of these Devatas and their background, why they were formed, their prabhavams, etc., one has to go to other Puranas. But importantly, most importantly, Devi Bhagavata Purana. The interesting thing is, in Devi Bhagavatam, this entire Devi Mahatmyam story, right from Madhukaitabhavatam until Shumbhavatam, is provided. In fact, it is provided with even more details. But why is that not considered as an important Parayana Paddhati or a Homakriya? I have told you many times that Devi Mahatmyam should not be seen as just a story. It is a mantra and tantra vidya in itself. Each sloka reveals a mantram within. And this is the reason why there is a Rishi Chandas Nyasam, Angan Nyasam, Karan Nyasam, Dhyana Sloka for each of these slokas, including Uvachas. Since as a whole, it forms a grand Mala Mantram, there is a Saptasati Nyasam, Rishi Chandas, Angan Nyasam, Karan Nyasam, Dhyanam as a whole as well. So Devi Bhagavatam may have detailed stories. It is also Purana like Markandeya Purana, but that stopped at the story level. And this Markandeya Purana, Devi Mahatmyam, went much deeper and reveals greater inner secrets at mantra, tantra, and Vedantic levels. Pat, you need to go to mute.
Yeah, I am on mute, but I'm trying to get on computer.
Okay. Okay, but I truly encourage all of you to read Devi Bhagavatam, just the story part. You should read it after listening to all these Devi Mahatmyam Ragasim lectures. Why? Because it would give you a different perspective of that Purana. There are 12 skandams and multiple adhyayams within each skandam. There are several English and Tamil translations of Devi Bhagavatam. It is a must read for all Devi Upasakas. So I truly encourage you guys, go and read that. Maybe next year. Take it as a exercise for next year. So with that introduction, let's jump into the topic of the day. So let's pick up the story of Durga. There are two stories. One is Durga Parameshwari, who took the avatar to kill the asura called Durgama. The other story is Durga, who took the avatar to kill Mahisha. Now, does it make sense? This Mahisha Mardini itself is none other than Durga Parameshwari. We all know the Mahisha story, and the Madhyama Charitram is primarily for Mahishasura only, Vadam only. So that as a Bijam completely makes sense. So just with that itself, we can say Durga makes sense totally. You know, just in case, because we also want to complete it, right? Even the 11th chapter says Durga took form to kill Durgama. So we'll go through the detailed story of Durgama. Who is that? Okay. Okay, so the detailed story of Durgamma is given in Uma Samhita of Shiva Puranam and Kashi Kandam of Skanda Puranam. Okay, they have very detailed information about the Durgamma stories. And each has little different flavors. I'm going to combine all those things together and then give you the compiled version of the Durgamma story. Once there was this great asura called Ruru. He had a son called Durgamma. In fact, Ruru himself got a boon that his son will win over the devatas and will be undefeatable. Durgamma also did the penance and received the boon himself that he cannot be won over by any devas or asuras or any men. Because of this boon, he won all the three worlds, Bhu, Bhuvah, and Subha. He himself assumed the power of Indra, Vayu, Chandra, Yama, Agni, Varuna, Kubera, and he also took up the positions of Ishana, Rudra, Sun, and Vasus. So fearing him, even the great sages gave up penance. Agitated through fear for him, Brahmanas ceased to study the Vedas. All sites of Yajnas were destroyed by the Asuras. Due to this non-performance of Yajnas, the rivers stopped flowing in the Bhuloka. Volcanoes and wildfires were there everywhere. Without water and due to fire, vegetation stopped, and there was famine everywhere, and people died without food. So if you feel that this current Kali Yuga is becoming non-Vedic, then there are reminders for us that such times have been there in the past too. And every time such calamities happen, that too when there is a danger of Vedas vanishing away, then to restore Dharma, restore Vedas, an avatara will happen. So in fact, in the Skanda Purana Adhyaya, Skanda mentions on how Shraddha should be towards one's own path. When such destructions, calamities happen, when the Vedas are being destroyed, what should a person who is following the path of Vedic path do? So it gives like 5 points. Blessed are those who even in adversity, forced by wretchedness, do not deviate from that path. But two, it is better to die a dignified death instead of living deviating from their path. Three, if people remain courageous, even in disaster in this world and in the other one, no misery and disaster being slighted and driven away by their courage will touch them again. Next, he who becomes depressed at the times of adversity is ruined. Both the worlds are lost in regard to him. Hence, one should avoid dejection. The rise and fall of meritorious should be kept in mind by wise men. The path should never be abandoned. Remember that happiness and sorrow are impermanent. So this is what Skanda himself is talking about when such calamities happen. And he mentioned these things in the Durgamma story itself. Now the devas went and prayed to Amba because the boon for Durgamma is he cannot be killed by any devas or asuras or men. So it has to be a goddess. So they go to Amba and then pleads her to help them win Durgamma. As per Shiva Puranam, Devi Bhagavatam, etc., when Amba heard the troubles that are faced due to the atrocities of Durgamma, the merciful goddess revealed to them her form possessed by of many eyes. So she is called Satakshi or Sahasrakshari. Okay, the goddess with her lotus eyes, lotus face, beaming with delight, held in her four hands the bow, the arrows, the lotus, and different fruits and roots. On seeing her people scorched and distressed, the goddess was dejected. With her eyes full of mercy, she cried for 9 days and nine nights. That's the Navaratri. Okay, so that's called the Shakambhari Navaratri. The tears took the form of thousands of water currents released from her eyes. The worlds, the plants, and the medicinal herbs were delighted by them. They turned into the rivers and oceans of deep waters because of the non-Vedic stuff, all those things were dried later before, right? So now they are all back to norm. Vegetables, roots, and fruits grew on the earth. To the learned and the gods, she distributed the fruits in her hands. To the cows, she gave the tender blades of the grass, and to others, the things they deserve. All, including the gods, Brahmins, and men, were satisfied. They all praised her as Shakambhari. Then the goddess said, "What else shall I do for you?" Then the gods there gathered said, "Please, the people have been rendered happy and satisfied, please go and kill Durgama. Now the Vedas have been restored. Please take care of Durgama. So Adi Lakshmi summoned Kalaratri and asked her to go to Durgama's palace as a messenger. So Kalaratri goes there. She went to the palace of Durgama and said, "Oh Durgama, give up the wealth of the three worlds. May Indra get back the three worlds. You go to Rasatala, one of the Patala lokas. May all the Vedic rites start and let the Vedas be performed, the Yajnas be performed. If at all there is pride in you, then come for the fight. Or else if you wish to live, then leave everything and go. So if you are indifferent to what I'm saying, then your death is certain." So on hearing this, Durgama got really furious and ordered his men to seize her and torture her to the maximum extent possible. In spite of the norm that the messengers are not tortured or killed, Durgama, due to his anger towards what was conveyed, ignored all those norms. Little did he know that Kalaratri herself can consume his whole kingdom. So when the great men of Durgama's army approached to capture her, all she had to do was do a Homkara, and they were all reduced to ash instantly. Durgama sent thousands of his men to capture her, and just a glance of Kalaratri made them vanish into dust. She could have destroyed Durgama herself, but true to the norms of a messenger, she went back to Bhavani to inform what happened at the Asura's palace. In the meantime, Durgama ordered 64 of his great commanders to go and capture Bhavani and bring her as a slave. These 64 commanders had crores and crores of army for themselves. So they went with multitudes of crores of armies. And Bhavani also created numerous Shaktis as well, and they all fought fiercely with those commanders and killed them all. The Purana actually lists the names of all those 64 Asura commanders and the Shakti Sena names as well. So there were like about 108 Shakti Senas and 64 Asura commanders. All those names are there in the Puranas. That's why I said, right, more than Devi Mahatmyam, these Puranas have large details about these battles. So Durgama comes to the battlefield after all those people are dead, and then he takes several Maya forms of elephant, buffaloes, mountain, rain clouds, etc. And Amba destroys him in all those forms, and finally kills him. All the rishis, devas, and all celestial beings chant the Jaya Vijaya Gosha and calls her Durga because she killed Durgaman. So devas then pray to her by praising her powers and also requesting her to be a shield for them to help them from future troubles. This shloka is called the Vajra Panjara Shloka and is very potent, secretive, and passed only through Guru Vakya. I will be attaching this shloka at the end of the session in the group. So anyone with Chandi Mantra Upadesham can chant this. This is not a lengthy shloka and can be chanted within 5 minutes upon practice. While I still prefer Devi Kavacham for Nitya Parayanam, this Durga Vajra Pancharas Kavacham has some specific uses that are mentioned in the Falastuti of the slokam itself. Chanting this at least once a week, maybe during the weekend, with the water in your hand. So you take your water in a cup, close it, and then chant this. So that is called, you're doing the Abhimantranam of this. You're energizing the water by chanting this mantram. And then drinking the water can relieve all Vada, Pitta, Kapha problems, viral fevers, any stomach-related ailments instantly. So this is the word given by Durga herself. Now, you can see that for the world to thrive, for sustenance, Shakambhari Shakti is needed. And Durga as Mahishamardhini is the real Charitra Devata and hence apt as the Bijam. So we got the reason behind the two Devatas. Let's now look at how the Dhyana Sloka describes Shakambhari and Durga. Shakambhari Nilavarna Nilot Palavilochana Gambirana Bistrivali Vibhu Chitatanudari. She is blue in color. She has wide eyes appear like the blue lily flower. Her nabhi is deep, decorated by three lines in the stomach. This just the Trivali itself is a topic on itself. So there will be some other session where I'll be talking about the three lines in the stomach area, why that is very important. Okay, so that this comes in Lalita Sahasranam also. So this is also for Krishna. It's called Tribhangi. Also, so that's a secret between this Trivali and Tribhangi, things like that. So I'll cover it in a different session. I didn't want to take it up here. So she has the three lines. Sukar kasha samottunga vritta peena ganastani mushtim shili mukhapurnam kamalam kamalalaya. She has hard and round breast, and in her hands she carries an arrow, a lotus flower, and is also seated on a lotus. Pushpa pallava mooladhi palaadyam shaka sanchayam kamyanantara sairyuktam chuttum ratyubayapaham. She also carries sprouts of greens and vegetables and fruits in her hands. These have many desirable flavors and tastes and are capable of destroying hunger, thirst, death, and fever. Karmukam chaspuraskanti bibrati parameshwari shakambari sataakshisa saiva durga prakirtita. She also carries a bow with a great lustre. This Shakambari is also Satakshi and is also Durga. Vishokadushta damani shamani durita padam Uma Gauri Sati Chandi Kalika Sacha Parvati. She removes the sorrows and kills all the enemies and gets rid of all the types of dangers. She is praised by the names Uma, Gauri, Sati, Chandi, Kalika, and Parvati. Shakambarim stu vandhyayan japan sampujayan namanna akshayamasrute sigram annapanamrutam phalam. Those who meditate, chants, properly worships, and salutes Goddess Shakambari would be blessed with everlasting nectar of food and drink forever. Okay, that's what is there in about the Dhyana Slokam of Shakambari. So this concept of food as the key nourishment for the sustenance of the jiva is explained in Vedas as well. So since we have some time, I want to cover that as well. In Taittiriya Upanishad, Annam is compared to Brahman as it is truly the life source for the jivas. In Bhriguvalli, Bhrigu asked his father, Varuna, to describe Brahman. Varuna in turn asked him to meditate upon foot, pranam, chakshu, stotram, manaha, and vacham, and do penance on what is the source of life, and due to what everything that is there is sustained, and within which everything merges. So he says, do the tapas on this. This is the sentence he says. So if you do the penance on these and focus on these five things I talked about, and then do the contemplation, do the penance, that should give you an answer. So Bhrigu goes and does the penance for several years and comes back to Varuna and says, Annam brahmeti vyajanat, annadye vakal vimani bhutani jayante, anne najatani jivanti, annam prayantya visham visantiti, tad vijnaya. Then again, so it says annam. So food is, I feel, food is Brahman. Only because of food, everything is created. And people are living. Everything is living because of food. And when they die, they become food also because they merge into the earth again and they also become food. So it comes in. So the question that Bhrigu, the Varuna asked Bhrigu to contemplate upon us, what is the source of life? And due to what everything that is there is sustained and within which everything merges. So food clearly fits the bill. So that's what Bhrigu comes and tells Varuna. Then he asks again, Varuna, please tell me about Brahman. Am I right in my thought process? Then, so he says, Punareva Varunam Pitaram Upasasara Ardehi Bhagavo Brahmeti Tagumho Vacha Tapasa Brahma Vignasasva Tapo Brahmeti. So he says, go and do the penance again. Contemplate and know him through again tapas. Satapo Tapyata. So he went again to do the penance. So Bhrigu goes back and does his penance again, comes back again. In this time, so this time he says, Prano brahmeti vyajanat, pranadye vakal vimani bhutani jayante, prane najatani jivanti, pranam prayante visam visanti ti, tad vijnaya. So he now says, Okay, I understand food. So I know, contemplated more than food. Now I think that it is the pranam, the life energy. Without the life energy, there is no creation. So it's the life energy that is sustaining life. The moment prana leaves, a person is dead, right? So again, it goes back into energy only. So that's the source of creation, sustenance, and merging. So then he asks again, Varuna, please tell me about Brahman. Am I right in my thought process? Varuna again, go back and do the penance again, contemplate, and know him through the tapas only. So Bhrigu goes back and does his penance again, comes back this time and says, Mano Brahmeti Vyajanat Manasokhe Vakal Vimani Bhutani Jayante Manasajatani Jivanti Manaprayatyantisham Visantiti Tad Vignaya. So he thinks now it's all because of the mind, everything is happening. So the creation, sustenance, and merging happens, everything in the mind. So he's asking Varuna, am I right in the thought process? Varuna says, no. Go back to the penance, contemplate again, and do the tapas again. So he goes back, does the penance for several years, comes back, and he says, Vijnanam Brahmeti Vyajanat Vijnanat Yeva Kalvimani Bhutani Jayante Vijnane Najatani Jivanti Vijnanam Prayantya Visham Visanti Tad Vijnaya. So he says that Vijnanam is what is keeping everything here. That is the one that is creating, sustaining, and merging. Because everything is there in the Vijnanamayam only. Okay, the intelligence there. So Varuna says, you're getting close, but not there yet. Go back and do the tapas again and come back. So Bhrigu goes back and does the penance. He comes back this time. And he says, Anando Brahmeti Vyajanat Anandadyeva Kalvimani Bhutani Jayante Anandena Jatani Jivanti Anandam Prayantya Visham Visanti Saisha Bhargavi Varuni Vidya Paramevyoman Pratishtita. So now he says it's all because of Anandam, because of the bliss. Everything is happening because of the Anandam only creation happens. People are running in this life and there is motivation to live because of the seeking for happiness. And in Anandam only they merge because that is the moksha. The end moksha is Anandam only. So he got it. So this is what was realized by Bhrigu as instructed by Varuna. So Saisha Bhargavi Varuni Vidya Parame Vyoman Pratishtita. So eva vedam pratishtati annavanannadho bhavati. This is firmly established. He becomes the annavan and annadho. Annavanannadho bhavati, meaning he is the possessor of the food and the consumer of the food. Like Shankara says in Nirvana Shatkam, aham bhojanam neiva bhojyam na bhokta. Here is the opposite explanation. I am the food, I am the possessor of the food, and I am the consumer of the food as well. Annam, annavan, and annadho bhavati. This is the same as Nyatrajnana Nyayanam Abheda Bhavanam Sri Chakra Pojanam. This is the Tripura and Tripura Sundari. So Mahan Bhavati Prajaya Pashubir Brahma Vartyasena. One who understands this becomes Mahan. He becomes a realized person. He creates more progeny and states in Brahma Vartyas, meaning like Jivan Mukta. Mahan Kirtya. He attains great glory. Now, after revealing this great knowledge, the Upanishad goes on to say, Annam na nindyat tadad vratam pranova annam. Don't criticize food. That should be the vo. The prana, life energy, comes from annam only. Sariram annadam prano shariram pratishtitam. This body is the consumer of annam only. The life energy is established in this body only. Sarire prana pratishtitaha. Tadetad annamanne pratishtitam. This body is existing because of this life energy only. Thus, annam is the basic need for existence itself. Sa eva etad annamanne pratishtitam veda pratishtati. So one who contemplates on the food and understands how this food is the basis of all that exists, would realize if food is Brahman, nourishment is Brahman. Annavanannadho bhavati. Mahan bhavati prajaya pashubhirbrahma varchasena Mahan kirtya. Again it goes. Annam na parichakshita tadad vratam apova annam jyotirananam jyotiritranam apsu jyoti pratishtitam. Again, so it keeps on going. So now it says, don't disregard food. That's the vow, and you should. Now it's equating food with water and fire. Then it says, continues, annam bahukurvita tadabratam prithiviva annam. So make more food. Now it equates this earth with sky and food. And this ends beautifully thus. Ahamannam, ahamannam, ahamannam. So it says, I am the food, I am the food, I am the food. So really established, firmly establishes that. Ahamannado, ahamannado, ahamannadaha. I am the consumer, I am the consumer, I am the consumer. I am the food, I am the consumer also. Ahagum sloka gad, ahagum sloka gad, ahagum sloka krite. Meaning, I am the maker, I am the maker, I am the maker. So I am the food, I am the maker, I am the consumer. Ahamasmi pratama jaratasya. I exist, I am the first. Purvam deve byomrtasya nabhai. Even before the devas, I am the core, I am the immortal, and I exist. Yoma dadati sa ideva ma avaha. One who gives me away also protects me. Ahamannam ahamannam adantamadmi. So that's the final line. It says, I exist as a food. I exist as a consumer, thus I consume myself fully. That's a beautiful thing, and it ends with the knowledge of Brahman completely, with that Jnatra Jnana Jnana Abheda Bhavanam Sri Chakra Pujanam. This is the Vedic Pramanam. So the equation of food to Brahman has Veda Pramanam. In Tantra, this is called Shakambari. This Devata has her own Rishi Chandras Nyasam Dhyanam, etc. Those will be shared at the right time. So in this session, we look into the Bija and Shakti Devatas for Madhyama Charitram, Shakambari and Durga. There are numerous forms of Durga. Four-arm Durga, eight-arm Durga, ten-arm Durga, etc. And several of them will come as Adhyaya Devatas. And we'll look into those forms, because after this, we'll cover the Adhyaya Devatas also. So and their mantras, japas, and avarnakramas later. Okay, in the next session, we'll look into Bhima and Brahmari Devatas. Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Deva Maheshwara, Guru Sakshat, Parabrahma, Tasmai, Shri Gurave, Namaha.
Namaskaram, Guru.
Namaskaram, Guru.
Guruji.